indeed, Jesus is coming again. And that's our great hope. Up to the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for your great mercy to us and for your kindness and for your long-suffering. And Father, we thank you also for provoking us and encouraging us and even chastising us when needed, that we might walk closer with you and that we might be those believers you'd have us to be, witnesses you'd have us to be, Lord, that we would represent thee rightly here in time. Thank you again for your promises, and even now as we open your word, give us understanding. Spirit of God, just do that work that needs to be done, and even give me clarity of thought and mind as I bring forth your word. And I'll thank you in Christ's name, amen. You might like to open your Bibles to the book of Amos. Book of Amos, chapter 4. Now Amos, a little bit of background here, Amos. Amos was from, at this time, Israel was divided into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And Amos was from the southern kingdom of Judah. And he prophesied against Israel, the northern kingdom, during a time of great prosperity and peace. They were very wealthy, sort of like this country. And he brought words about God's imminent judgment upon Israel. And this judgment came because the people of Israel had corrupted the worship of God, treated the poor and the weak with injustice, betrayed the covenant vows of God. There was idolatry, there was immorality, etc. And the result of this disobedience and lack of mercy would be their destruction in the hands of a foreign nation. However, there's always good news. However, God is merciful. Judgment is never God's last word. Amos provided them with a glimmer of hope. And God would preserve and restore a remnant of Israel who would return to the promised land and would remain in Israel forever. So with that background, I'd just like to read a passage from chapter 4 of Amos. Beginning in verse 6. And I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and want of bread in all your places. In other words, famine. Jehovah chastened Israel with famine. And he says, I read it again. And also I gave you cleanness of teeth in your cities and want of bread in your places. Yet have ye not returned to me, saith the Lord. And again in verse 7, and also I have withholden the rain from you when there was yet 3 months to the harvest. And I caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it rained not withered. So two or three cities wandered into one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have you not returned to me, saith the Lord. Famine, drought, God chastising Israel, trying to get Israel back in the path of righteousness, rightness, back to the law. Verse 9, I have smitten you with blastings and mildew when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased. The palm worm devoured them. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have sent among you pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword, and have taken away your horses. I have made the stink of your camps to come up to your nostrils. Yet have you not returned to me, saith the Lord. I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Judgment is coming. How was that received? Interesting. Chapter 7, turn to page 2. And in verse 10, then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. In other words, we can't stand what he's saying. For thus, and this is interesting, for thus Amos saith. Now, Amos was always, the Lord says, thus saith the Lord. But here it says, thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. Also, Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go flee thee into the land of Judah, and there eat bread and prophesy there. But don't prophesy anymore here in Bethel, for it is the king's chapel and in the king's court. Now, we don't want to hear this. Get out of here. Go back to the southern kingdom. Go back to Judah. Sort of like that today, too. People don't want to hear. They want to hear the truth. So, I'm going to take a little trip here. Let's go to the New Testament. I'm going to work through the New Testament. Work through time, if you will. So, let's go to the Gospel of John. John chapter 1. So Amos was trying to bring God's word to the people, trying to bring light, if you will, and the people didn't want it. They didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to see it. And it ended up in judgment. In John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. In verse 14, and the Word that was in the beginning, the Word that was with God, and the Word that was God, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Backing up to verse 9. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world. Light was in the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, the Jewish people that should have known, and they received him not. Light came into the world, and they refused it. Amos came into Israel with God's word, and they refused it. Today, God's word, the light of God's word, came into the world. And how does the world handle it? How do we handle it? John chapter 3. verse 19. Chapter 3, John 3:19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Men love darkness. Men love sin. Israel was corrupted. I mentioned this morning, I forget who it was that mentioned this morning, the foundation of this country has been corrupted. Our government's corrupted. Our people are corrupted. There's all kinds of immorality going on. Language is disgusting. And I'm talking about the government, even high officials. It's even hard to listen to a speech anymore. And the women are just as bad as the men. What happened? They hate light. They hate truth. John 3:36, all the way down to the end of the chapter. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see light, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The wrath of God abides on him. Back to Romans chapter 2. Judgment is waiting. Romans chapter 2. Dropping down to verse 5. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, will render to every man according to his deeds. The wrath of God is waiting. The unrepentant heart can expect the wrath of God. Chapter 3, still in Romans, chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All are sinners. All have been enemies of God, or born enemies of God. We all fall short of what God expects of us, short of the glory of God. In chapter 6, I'm sure you're familiar with all these verses. Chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death. Judgment, separated from God. The wrath of God is waiting. It's hanging over the heads of the unrepentant heart. The good news is God is merciful. At the end of verse 23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Not death, but life. That brings me to Galatians chapter 3. Dropping down to verse 13, talking about the gift of God and Jesus Christ. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. We've been redeemed. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, from our sins. Israel didn't want to hear that from Amos. We want to hear that today from God's word. 1 Peter 1. Come on, it's in here. Verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Precious blood of Christ. Unfortunately, too many people today don't see their need for that. They're satisfied with their precious materials that they have. They're satisfied with their money. They're even satisfied the way things are going in their life, maybe. Things couldn't be better. I don't need God. I don't think I need God. What is it that's missing? They don't see their sin. They don't see their sinfulness. They don't see their need to be washed from their sins. Israel didn't see their need either. Let's go back to the Gospel of John again. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Again to chapter 1. We were there earlier. Again, in verse 10, he was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. They didn't want to know him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. They didn't want to receive him. Remember, we read in Amos, and they believed him not. Exactly what was it he said? I forgot. And ye have not returned unto me. Time after time, ye have not returned unto me. But verse 12, as many as received him, to them gave he the power, the authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. In God's mercy, he's made it possible for us to come out of darkness into the light and the truth. And a famous and familiar verses in John 3:16. Chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world, God so loved mankind even, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The wrath of God is hanging over everyone. We read it in verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. They'll not see life. Instead, they're going to see the wrath of God. We need to make a choice. Everyone needs to make a choice. 1 John chapter 5. As we get closer to the end of the age, we get closer to the coming of the Lord in the Bible. We're in 1 John chapter 5. Skipping all the way down to verse 10. He that believes on the Son of God has the witness in himself, and he that believes not God has made him a liar. Reason? Because he believes not the record that God gave of his Son. Doesn't believe the light that God gave, the truth that God gave. And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son, the Word made flesh. And he that hath the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. We need to make a choice to have life or not to have life, to have the Son or not to have the Son. It's one or the other. If you have the Son, you have life. If you don't have the Son, the wrath of God awaits you. The wrath of God. Final two places, maybe. Revelation chapter 6. Verse 12, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth in the hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it rolled together. And every mountain and island was moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said of the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. All the great men of the earth, all the important people, kings, presidents, senators, all of them, all great military people, all who have put their trust and hope in human abilities and the human flesh, and all who have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, would join those crying out in the mountains, just like these men, even today. That's what's going to happen. We sang a little while ago, Jesus is coming again. But it's not going to be a happy time for the unsaved. The wrath of God is over their heads. And at that time, all the unsaved living at that time will be just like these men, calling on the rocks and the mountains to fall on them, to hide them from the wrath of God. I don't know about you, but I'm one of those who believe that the judgment of God is sure. God is coming again to judge the nations. Thankfully, God has told us we won't be here. If you're a believer. If you're not a believer and you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Lord, you will be here if he comes during your lifetime. And you're going to have to sit through that and go through that. I don't know the day or the hour or any of that stuff, But God is indeed going to shake the earth like it's never been shaken before. The words really don't really explain it. Have you ever been in an earthquake? That doesn't explain it either. Can you imagine? Can you imagine all the great men? Can you imagine the president, the senators, all those shaking in fear? People aren't going to even know what's going on. They're not even prepared for what's happening. That's the problem. But what if it were today? What if it were today that the Lord should return? That's a very sobering thought. So many people will be caught unaware. They won't be prepared. Just like Iran. I'm going to use that. That was brought up this morning. Iran. Iran thought everything was good. They didn't expect to be attacked during the day. Even though they knew something was going to happen, oh, it's not going to be today. They're not going to attack us during the daylight. Boom! That's what's going to happen when Christ comes. Boom! The wrath of God is a fierce, it's fearsome, and it's a terrifying thing. Think about it, if you're in all that. Only those who have been covered by the blood of Christ shed for us on the cross. Only those, only us, can be assured that God's wrath will never fall on us. Romans 5:9 says, "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Be born again. J.C. Ryle quoted a saying, "If you are never born again, you will wish you had never been born at all." Jesus is coming again. That's a joyful time for the believer. But think of all the ones you know, maybe family members, those you work with, go to school with, that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not going to be a joyous time for them. I have a great concern, especially for family members. I have family members that aren't saved, grandchildren that aren't saved. They're going to face that. They're either going to face it in this life or they're going to face the wrath of God in the next life when they die. Prepare to meet thy God. That's a very sobering thing. Sometimes we forget that. You know, I'm guilty of it myself. Everybody, I can't wait for the Lord to come. That's fine for us. But for the unsaved, woe is them. So, thankfully, God has given us a way out. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, washed in his blood.